Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Owen Strand to the podcast. Dr. Strand serves as the director of the Center for Public Theology here at Midwestern Seminary, as well as serving as associate professor of Christian theology. What is more, he also gives oversight to our residency program, a residential component to our PhD program. Dr. Strand joins me periodically as a guest host, where he interviews me on different topics and aspects related to preaching or broader themes. Today, we'll be talking about the preacher and the MDiv degree. Dr. Strand, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you so much. Great to be here, Dr. Allen.
Yeah, look, it's good to be in the studio. And for me, it's role reversal, getting to be interviewed and be interrogated and to outsource the leading of the conversation to someone else. So, man, I'm thrilled to be here with you. And just as a footnote before Dr. Strand and I get into the meat of the topic today, let me just say how much I enjoy doing this podcast. And so many of you tweet at me questions and comments, and I get emails and different words of feedback of appreciation. Let me just thank you for that. Again, this is a labor for me, but it's a labor of love, and it's a one more way for me and for the seminary to seek to build up the body of Christ, to serve ministers, to serve pastors, and frankly, to fulfill our vision of existing for the church. And if we can see preachers and ministers of the Word strengthened and emboldened and increasingly equipped, and if this podcast can be a small part of that, then that's a big win for the kingdom. So thrilled to get to do this. I think I'm about into my third year, and it's been a real joy, and Dr. Strand has been a part of this along the way. So we're talking today about the primacy of the Master of Divinity degree. And we kind of stumbled into this iteration of the conversation. I get asked about the MDiv degree periodically, and pretty frequently, actually, about why the MDiv degree is important and whether or not one should do the MDiv degree. And look, I am fully, wholeheartedly committed to the Master of Divinity degree as the premier degree for ministry preparation. Now, we'll unpack that in the next 20 minutes, but on the front end, let me just say, I'm not an impartial observer. I am committed to the MDiv degree, and I believe for good reasons. Thematically, this showed up again on my radar in recent weeks because I'm a member of the Facebook group, The Baptist Review, which is a great Facebook group, a lot of friends on there, and I try to glance at it every couple of days and see what the conversation's like there. And on The Baptist Review, I just happened to see a friend who I know is a former student at Midwestern ask a question about the MDiv degree and contemplating the MDiv versus the MTS degree. So I'm there, actually in my bed, not asleep, just kind of sitting there reading, talking to my wife, and I see this, and I begin to peck away an answer for that student and for the broader readers and at the Baptist Review, those who engage the topic. Before I know it, it's been a few minutes, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 8 minutes, and I'm banging away, and before I know it, it's went from a little comment to, frankly, a brief little article on this Facebook page. My wife is rolling her eyes. What are you doing? Hurry up. Put the phone away. Talk to me. And I got into a touch of marital trouble there, but I was able to unpack some reasons why the MDiv degree is important. I backed out of that and elaborated a touch more into an article on my website here just recently. And so important is this topic that I wanted to bring in the studio as well. So that's why we're here. Dr. Strand, thank you for being here with me.
Yeah, it's great to be here. This is, so the listeners know, this is a topic so important that you are just about dreaming about the MDiv. I mean, we eat, sleep, and breathe MDiv here at Midwestern Seminary. But in all seriousness, we kind of do, because we believe in the church in the broad sense, and thus we believe in the cultivation of preachers, as you just said. And the best avenue you and I know of, I think we can say, to develop, train, and turn out excellent preachers is frankly not a new idea. It's an old one. It's the Master of Divinity degree. You're an MDiv graduate. I'm an MDiv graduate. I think we could both say it prepared us really well for our respective ministries, and we continue to believe in it today. You know, one thing I would say at the outset here as we dive in. An argument we get, you and I both, we both get this question a lot, is why would I do the MDiv when I could do a shorter degree? Expediency, money, cost, these are the factors that are stacked up against the MDiv today. Just at the outset, what do you say to that question?
Yeah, and look, I don't dismiss that, meaning I think it's always wise to evaluate one's time, one's money, make that evaluation through the grid of stewardship, calling, what one is called to do by God, and how one believes God is calling him or her to do it. So I don't just dismiss that and think, oh, you're such a sluggard, you're so lazy, you're making these silly arguments as to why you shouldn't do the MDiv degree. So I treat it seriously, and I want to give something of a serious answer here, my best to give a serious answer here. And to do that, I want to just zoom out just a touch, remind ourselves, for many decades, the MDiv degree has been really the gold standard degree in theological education. That wasn't arbitrary. That didn't just happen, but it was developed that way and shaped that way based upon a thorough assessment of the needs of the church. That gold standard that gold standard element to it was a trans-denominational reality, meaning the common degree from various denominations within Protestantism. And so it really earned that place. Well, what happened? Well, about 20 or so years ago, when the online revolution began to take place, and especially the online revolution in theological education, the late 90s and into the 2000s, the accrediting agencies were slow to accredit the MDiv degree as an online degree in full. And basically, earlier on, the shorter MTS and or MA degrees that typically are a half or less of the amount of hours as the MDiv degree received accreditation much, much earlier. And so when most people have tracked the shape, the change of theological education as relates to the degrees offered, most people have tracked the online disruption as impacting the residential component. So you went from having, 100% residential students to having something less than that, in some cases something far less than that because of online. What wasn't tracked as carefully was the transition, not just from online to residential, but from the MDiv degree to those shorter degrees, because these shorter degrees were accredited, about 10 years, nearly 10 years earlier than the MDiv degree. So that was also a part of that dramatic shift. Now, for me at Midwestern Seminary, I became president in the fall of 2012. And I remember that first year reviewing just enrollment reports, and that year we had about 111, so not about, but exactly 111 MDiv students. And we've worked really hard to see that number moved up. In the academic year we're in, we'll have somewhere around 700 MDiv students. We've made an institutional priority, an institutional goal to have 1,000 MDiv students within 5 years. So we're working hard for that. But why is that? Is that just some pragmatic goal? No, it's because there's a conviction behind it that the MDiv degree is indeed the central degree. I unpack this in this blog article on my website, The Primacy of the Master Divinity Degree, and we're going to pack it here a touch. So I'm rambling a touch here, Dr. Strand, but to pull this together as it relates to this issue of expediency, I want to be clear. If you're 54 years old, you have 4 kids, one's in college, 2's in high school, one's about to be in high school, you're working a job in the factory, and you're called to ministry at that stage of life, and your ministry is probably going to be bivocational. The reality is, maybe you should only do an MTS degree. And the reality is maybe you need to keep your job and do that online. And I praise God for that. I rejoice in that. I'm grateful that given the advances in theological education, delivery systems, that we can bring that degree to you. So you should not hear me say this corporate, collective, plenary shaming of people who aren't pursuing an MDiv degree. That's not my heart at all. I realize there are exigencies, there are life circumstances, there are nuances of calling and all that. However, I think that one should ask himself or herself, if you're called to ministry, how am I best equipped for that ministry? And for the vast majority of people called to ministry, again, especially in the context of the United States, that answer is going to be the Master of Divinity degree. If you look at carefully the distinctives between the Master of Divinity degree and other shorter MTS MA degrees, how do you get that degree cut in half? Largely by cutting out the linguistic requirements, the language and exegetical requirements. And so the MDiv degree is designed for a person who's expecting to have a ministry of the word, a preacher, a teacher, a counselor, a person who envisions themselves having a ministry of the word. And so for me, if you're called to ministry, that call, in my understanding of a call to ministry, really gets back to a ministry of the word, either preaching or teaching. And if you're called to the ministry, therefore get that degree that enables you, that equips you to have a ministry of the word. And that is the key distinctive of the MDiv degree. Now, we have many students who do the MTS degree and they transfer into the MDiv degree, and God bless them. A few things make my heart happier. But I do want to note at this juncture that to do that, you're putting off to really the back end of that degree the more rigorous classes, the Greek, right, the Hebrew, the more rigorous classes. And so I question the wisdom of doing that. So I want to be careful. This is not a full-throated rebuke of people who are doing MTS degree, not at all. I understand distinct callings, life stages, circumstances, et cetera. But for the average person who's received the average call to ministry and a vision to go into serve a church, the MDiv degree is what you need to pursue. And do this. Saddle up for it for 3 or 4 years, understanding that you're being equipped for 3 or 4 decades. It's okay. Give it an extra 18 months. Spend a few thousand more dollars. Get that training so you'll be ready.
That's it. That's it right there. That last line was really the heart of what we're talking about and the heart of our conviction here at the seminary. Certainly my own personal conviction as well. 3 to 4 years spent, even 5 years, frankly, even six, if kids start coming or whatever the circumstances, health issues, whatever it may be, that 3 to 4 to 5 range in terms of years for the next 3 to 4 decades, that's it.
Right. And even if you're making an argument from expediency, I believe generally that argument from expediency gets you back to the MDiv degree. What I mean by that? Well, a few words here. First of all, the time that I save week in, week out in my study because of a rigorous MDiv degree that I got. Guys, I have saved a zillion hours by being able to have the tools and be able to use the tools and have a basic understanding of the text, a facility with the languages. That has saved me a zillion hours. What is more, you can make the argument from expediency that pragmatically having the MDiv degree probably positions one for a higher ministerial ceiling. So even pragmatically, you'll probably make more money in ministry with the MDiv degree. Now, I'm not to overstate that, and look, obviously we're called to ministry not for the paycheck, but just a point of practicality. Many churches require that degree, and that thus enables you to serve in that church, that ministry context. And finally, as it relates to expediency, the sooner you do it, do it. Life gets more complex with each passing year. When I undertook the MDiv degree, began it in the year 2001, I had 0 children. By the time I finished it, I had, I had 2 children and a third on the way. Now I have 5 children. I couldn't imagine at the age of now of having just turned 42 with 5 children and full life responsibilities and baseball practices and basketball practices and gymnastics and ballet and all the things that go with life. I couldn't imagine me trying to weave in an MDiv degree right now. So get after it sooner. While your life is simpler, you can do it.
Yeah, and when you go to a doctor, there's different exigencies, as you've already said. We agree on that in full, nuances of situation and so on. But when you go to a doctor, you're not looking for a doctor who has the least possible training that he or she could get. You are looking for a really well-prepared doctor to handle your heart issues, your skeletal issues, whatever it may be, your broken arm. You want somebody who is an expert. We think here of a text, 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best, Paul says, to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed. How interesting that he says that. Rightly handling the word of truth. This is really what this article is driving at, to rightly handle the word of truth, to not be ashamed, to do your best to present yourself to God, not just to a church, but to God as an approved worker. Well, you don't have to do an MDiv to fulfill this call from Paul, but what an MDiv forces you to do, as you have said, Dr. Allen, is it makes you take a range of courses in the major theological disciplines, and in particular, the languages. I will hear students say to me, well, I don't want to have to take all these language courses because I've got to get out and get into ministry. And I will say to them in some form, I understand that concern, that desire. I love that desire to get out and minister. That's a beautiful thing. But what are you going to minister with? How are you going to rightly handle that word when you get out there? You are not going to regret it. No one gets out there into fields of ministry and regrets having taken 2, 3, 4, 5 language classes. I defy you to find me a pastor or a minister or a ministry worker who would say that.
That's right. And look, it's in the best interest of those to whom you will be ministering, but it's also in your best interest. Dr. Strain, let's pause just for a moment for a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's 81-hour Master of Divinity degree prepares you for ministry today and tomorrow. Midwestern Seminary's flagship degree program is our primary track for ministry preparation. Requiring only 81 credit hours, the MDiv program is an efficient option for students, equipping them to serve the church in pastoral ministry. Residential students will be trained in a unique community environment passionately focused on the local church. Online students can earn the full degree without leaving their current ministry context. Come be a part of one of the fastest growing seminaries in North America as we develop a new culture of discipleship devoted to the local church and committed to taking God's unchanging word into a rapidly changing world. Visit mbts.edu/mdiv today.
All right, I'm back in the studio with Dr. Owen Strand. We're talking today about the preacher and the MDiv degree. Now, throughout the course of taking the languages, some students flourish and love it. And before you know it, the next Andreas Kostenberger is emerging. So there's a stewardship there on behalf of the church at large. Then you have within that level of kind of generational excellence, you have another level of students who may not be a seminary professor of Greek or Hebrew, but they have a real facility with the languages, and God is going to use them in the local church, perhaps to write commentaries, or just to be a really gifted and vocal interpreter and communicator of God's word. And then within that, to the next year, you have kind of the general pastor that they use the tools, they had the languages in seminary, and they can engage it, and it enriches their study and enriches their sermons. And then you have those who it's rustier still, and they really, you know, the languages that they can't really interpret the original, but they can have a facility with the tools, and it enables them to be better. And so my point is there's a full spectrum. We get that. Not every student is going to be the next Andreas Kostenberger. However, every student has the languages. If it's nothing else, then that what sticks with them is an ability to use the tools to enable them to more accurate interpretation. That is well worth it.
That's absolutely right. You know, the MDiv is a complex degree. It's a beast. It was a beast for me. It took me 3.5 years, and I didn't have, you know, a family. So as we've said, this is no small thing to call students to. And we're not saying an MA or an MTS is, you know, a sin to get or something. We're thrilled to have students in those programs. But we're talking about the baseline expectation. Ministry is not getting less complex in 2018, 2019. America's, for example, not getting less secular. It's getting more secular. The challenges are multiplying. It's better to know more of church history. It's certainly better to know more of systematic theology. We've talked about the languages. There's other disciplines we need to mention, of course, as well. Ethics, philosophy, apologetics, counseling, so on and so forth. Students do not ever need, I would say, less training. But wow, Dr. Allen, when you look at the challenges in our culture today in the West, America, wherever our listeners are, They're not decreasing, they're multiplying.
That's right. Look, a couple of generations ago, it was common in a small town, especially in the Bible Belt or even in a major city, it was common to find a church where you had, in essence, taking place sermonettes being delivered to Christianettes by preacherettes. And it was shallow and glib and cotton candy, and it was all about kind of the social setting and the cultural expectation to go to church. And there was not much that was hard about it. Ministry in the 21st century is exhilarating and glorious. It's also difficult, meaning the margin for sermonettes being delivered to Christianettes by preacherettes, where we all kind of do this because we're supposed to be doing it, that is really evaporating. Yeah. And so as I preach every Sunday now, you know, most Sundays I'm in the pulpit somewhere, there are questions. I mean, people are processing the world we live in, the social expectation that you go to church and the cultural credibility that you gain by being at church is diminishing. And so you have, instead of the social expectation, you often have a social cost being identified with conservative Christianity, conservative evangelicalism. And so my point in all this is to say ministers better be ready. They can't just pat church members on the head and say, well, that's a good question, and I'm not going to give you a good answer, but you need to be here anyway, and we just need to like each other, and let's make sure we tithe. No, we're going to have to engage real people with serious questions in serious ways. Yeah, you know, I read here in recent days, Pete Williams, our friend at Tyndale House, Cambridge, his new book on the Gospels, and it's very well done, very accessible. But even reading the book, I was reminded that he's answering many questions that people showing up Sunday after Sunday are asking in their mind, if not verbalizing them with their tongue.
Yeah. So much of our ministry now is apologetic, even if we don't have the bent, you know, to enter into all the debates, evidentialism, presuppositional, that sort of thing. But ministry, really, to be a ministry today, to evangelize people, is, at least to a large degree, to be an apologist for the faith, not just preaching the text, as essential as that is. You know, as we round to a close of this podcast, I think of that famous commercial from years back. The Marines commercial, you know, with the dude with the sword, the few, the proud, the Marines, and usually there'd be some sort of galactic battle between a monster and the Marine. you know, and that shaped my understanding of the Marines. I did not enter the Marines, but I have immense respect for the Marines, not just for the commercial, but the commercial shaped that. We're not heaping scorn and shame on somebody who would not come to Midwestern Seminary and do residential education, college, MDiv, be in the residency, PhD program. But we are saying there's a call here. We're issuing a call in this podcast. You are in your blog, and you're saying don't batten down the hatches. Don't decrease your expectations on yourself. Punch up.
Yeah, what would we leave behind us if we, who you and I, Dr. Strand, we're still classified, I think, as young men, if 20, 30 years from now, we have passively watched a generation of ministers kind of slide into a habit of ease and lack of discipline and insufficient preparation? What will we leave the church? Well, I can't just passively let that happen. I have a very tiny little corner in the kingdom, not much at all. But in my corner, I want to be speaking as loudly and as clearly as I can to uphold those standards. And one of the standards we have to continue to uphold is the MDiv degree.
That's absolutely right. I think of Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, 24 to 28, spelling out famously the hardships he took on in order to get the gospel out. This is not a passage, to be clear, that is explicitly saying do an MDiv at a seminary. Of course, a formal seminary in the first century Greco-Roman world is an innovation they would not have known. But that mentality, by any means to get the gospel out, is what we are trying to instill in our students much, much more than we are simply trying to get them to walk through an educational program and graduate. We are trying to instill in them the theologically shaped character such that they would receive at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes once. They would be beaten with rods. They would be stoned. They would be shipwrecked. They would be in frequent danger from all sides, and they would do it for the glory of Christ. That's what we're after with the MDiv. We're not here for our own good. We're not here simply because we like education. We're here to get out that kind of gospel worker.
That's right. And when someone says to me, Timothy didn't go to seminary, I say, Timothy knew Greek. Timothy studied the Apostle Paul.
That's
when someone
right.
says to me, Charles Spurgeon didn't go to seminary, I say, sweetly, you're no Charles Spurgeon. And look, in every generation, God is pleased to raise up people and use them with no formal training. I don't knock that. I celebrate that. I have learned much distantly from Charles Spurgeon and Martin Lloyd-Jones. I have learned much in my own life from men and women in churches who have not received formal theological training. That's not the point. The point is, if God is calling you to ministry, do your very best to be equipped for that ministry. And for many, many of you, that includes seminary. For many, many of you, that should include the MDiv degree.
Amen. Well said.
Well, friends, thank you for joining us on Preaching and Preachers. I want to point you back to my website, The Primacy of the Master of Divinity Degree, for the article where I flesh this out a touch more. And read that, digest it, process it, help us in advancing the calls for the Master of Divinity Degree. What is more, for the podcast, for those of you who listen, please help us out. Review us on iTunes, help spread the word through social media, and always pleased to hear from you. Give us feedback. We're delighted to have you a part of the listenership. Dr. Strand, thank you for helping me today, and thank you for joining me on Preaching and Preachers. Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.